Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the Father waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Brothers and sisters, I spent full 2 weeks to preach through the book of James. I had a house revival 2020, Monday through Friday. It was a great and blessed time for me and others. If you haven't participated in the sermons on James, I recommend you watch them again because it's available. Today, I want to preach from the book of James, something that I think the core message of the book. So this is very important. By listening to this message, you can get an idea what the book of James is talking about. So if I condense the whole book of James into one verb, it would be this: endure. Endure. In other words, wait in patience. Now, is there anyone who loves waiting? Please raise your hand. I don't see any hands. Nobody, right? Any waiting is hard. Waiting room in DMV or social office is the worst place to be. Last year, we were in Disney World. Kids went to their favorite rides, but the waiting time was over 2 hours. We gave up and didn't ride. Waiting is hard. Long line is to be avoided. Fast track is always preferred. A few years ago, we were driving from Washington, D.C., and it took us nearly 8 hours. Originally, it takes about 4 hours. Two major traffics were on the way, so we drove 30 miles in 2 hours. My knees were shaking and hurting. It was summer, and outside was 96 degrees. It was hot and hard. My mind was also hot and hard. Some time ago, I was in a tire shop to fix my nail-picked-up tire. They said it would take 30 to 40 minutes total. I was waiting and waiting, but 30 minutes passed and they did not even touch my car. A juice began to come up and my face began to change. I was frustrated. I don't know about you, but waiting is not for me. But in today's scripture passage, James is telling us to be patient. In other words, to wait. Why is this important, and how can we become patient? How does it look like to be patient? This is something that we will study from today's text that we just read. Let's read the first part of this passage again. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Now, James says, be patient. What does be patient mean? In Greek, it means long-suffering, in God's direction. So it is God-centered waiting. We should wait in patience with God's direction, for His will and in His way. This is the biblical way of being patient, biblical way of waiting. But not all waiting is good. Instead of God-centered waiting, there is also human-centered waiting. Now, what is human-centered waiting? It is a long-suffering in human direction, human way for a human goal. Now, all of us are waiting for something, waiting for something to be achieved. We're waiting to become better and greater. You may say, right now, I'm living in a studio apartment, but someday I'll live in a single house with at least 5 different rooms. Now, I'm a server at a restaurant receiving and delivering orders, but I'll be an owner of this restaurant. I will receive lots of money and franchise another restaurants all over the Triangle area, North Carolina, and even in the world. Now, I'm a pastor of this little tiny church, but I'll be a pastor of a mega church with 50,000 people and or more one day. So I'll wait for the day all these dreams come true. It may take 10, 20, or 30 years from now, but I'll wait patiently until my dream comes true. Isn't this what people normally think? Is this all bad? Having dream is bad? No, it is okay to become restaurant owners, to live in a big house, or to be a mega church pastor. But however, if that is all you wait for, then it is problematic and sinful. Why is it problematic? Because human-centered waiting will lead you to frustration eventually. Verse 9 says, don't grumble against one another. Grumbling means feel pressured for what is coming on. In other words, it is being stressed about what is coming in the future. Isn't this why we complain and grumble in our life? You wanted to live in five room single home, but 10 years, 15 years passed, but you still live in a small apartment. You wanted to own and franchise the restaurant, but you're still serving at the table. You wanted to become a mega church pastor, but you are still pastoring in a small church, having absolutely no one to promote you. You will be stressed out. As years go by, you are getting older and weaker. As years go by, the date is coming, but future becomes darker and sadder, especially with this pandemic. You get more stressed out because of your dream future goes further and further away from your present reality. You become more frustrated and begin to complain. Problem is that you don't hold it to yourself. You will share frustration through complaining against each other. You grumble against each other. Isn't this what we often see in our life? If we push our agenda, wait to fulfill it, but fail it, then we grumble. Our waiting, our long suffering, would be total waste. However, if we wait on God's agenda and His will, our waiting will be pleasant and rewarding. Because God always fulfills His will. Now, what is His will? His will is His return. James says, be patient until He is coming. Godly waiting is always God-centered. Wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait for the second coming of Christ. Wait for the kingdom of God. It is waiting for God in three persons, the Holy Trinity. Now, how does this waiting look like for us? It is like the farmer waiting for rain for the harvest. Farmer knows the rain comes, but he cannot control the rain, so he has to wait patiently, but he has a clear goal, harvest. Now, we have the clear goal of our waiting, coming of the Lord. Not money, not new house, not wife or husband, not children, but the Lord God alone. His promise is to be fulfilled, and He does fulfill. So our hearts will be always happy and fulfilled. Be patient until the Lord's coming, but waiting is not easy. Let's see the next passage. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, the environment of waiting is not always good. It is not being patient in a luxurious hotel room or a resort. In the fiery trial, be patient until Jesus comes. But interestingly, he says in verse 11, we count as blessed those who have persevered. James is redefining what true blessing is here. True blessing is not what you get, but how you endured. Blessing is not a quick promotion, but a quiet perseverance. Blessing is not an easy possession, but a faithful preservation. Normally, people think blessing in this way. Oh, look at you. When you came to the United States, you had nothing but two suitcases. Now it's been only 1 year, but you bought a car, you have a nice home, your English is near perfect, and you have lots of money in your bank, your kids are all healthy, you made your American dream true. You are truly blessed, and God has answered all your prayers. Well, but that is not the blessing James is talking about here. He takes Job as an example of blessing, not the material possessions Job had, but the faithful perseverance Job did. Job was a truly blessed man in a human eyes. I mean, he had it all. He was rich and wise. He had a fantastic family. He lived a flourishing life. But all of a sudden, he lost it all. All his children died. All his belongings disappeared. His wife ran away. His body got terminal illness. He lost all the earthly blessings that you could name of. However, he endured. Later, he regained lots of possessions again. However, the real blessing is that he met God through the hardships. He began to know who God truly was, God of wonders, God of compassion, God of mercy. And this is the true blessing. He persevered in the face of suffering and he met God. How different it is from the worldly blessing. World says, blessing is no suffering and quick success. Don't be deceived, by the way. This is not a blessing. It can be a curse. We need to know what true blessing is. It is being patient in God's direction, even in the suffering. Now, Jesus is the ultimate example of this blessing, perseverance in the suffering. Cross is the crux of the suffering. But some people say, oh, Jesus' suffering is nothing compared to what they suffered because Jesus suffered only 6 to 7 hours. And that is not suffering compared to cancer patients who suffer for at least 6 to 8 months going through chemo, hair loss, and painful nights. Or those who support family member who disability for years after years might say similar thing. My sister, who is 45 years old, has extreme case of mental disability. And my parents still have suffered with my sister for the last 45 years. And that's a long time. Now, Jesus had only 6 to 7 hours of suffering at the cross. Can it be compared to the people with suffering for that many years? Well, yes, the actual cross was for a few hours. But we need to know this. Jesus' entire life was the life of the cross. Even before his birth, his death was planned. Even at the birth of Jesus, his death was announced through the gift of incense by the Magi. Can you imagine living a life of knowing painful death? Classic time travel movies give a common lesson. It is better not to know the future. You must not know what kind of death you will die. If you know, your life will be even more miserable, painful. You want to do everything you could do to avoid your death. It would be a miserable life. But Jesus fully knew about his painful death. And that itself would be a mentally miserable. His life was also full of rejection and ridicule by his own people. He was betrayed by his own disciples. He took the cup of wrath of his own father. He was delivered to death for our sins. His life was the cross. But he endured the cross. He triumphed over sin and death, and God the Father raised him from the dead. Jesus is patient. God is patient. Unlike our patience for our promotion and better life. God's patience is for our salvation and eternal life. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." When Jonah was waiting for people of Nineveh to be destroyed, God waited for Nineveh to repent. And that is God's heart for the sinners. God is full of compassion and mercy. He is a patient God. He is waiting God. Therefore, it is not too late. If you have not come to Jesus yet, come to Him today. Turn away from your sin and turn to Jesus today. You can make that decision now while God is still waiting for you to come to Him. As God is patient, and as we are His children, we are to be patient as well. We are to wait not for ourselves, but for God's will to be done. We are to be patient based on God's promise, not our promise. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Swear means promising by God's name. It's like, I swear to God that I will do this or that. Now, James says, don't do that. Don't swear. Don't make any promise in God's name. Instead, we are to trust in God's promise alone. We must live on God's trustworthy promise, not our own shaky promises. And we must wait until His promise is fulfilled. Now, what is His promise again? It is simple. He said, I will come. We are to patiently wait until He comes. In front of His promise, we don't have to make another promise. Humbly, we should say yes or no and trust God's promise. He will fulfill His promise. He will indeed come, and He will come and bring His church to His home. And what a wonderful and powerful promise and future we have. But sometimes life is like highway, and you drive 80 miles without any interruption. And sky is blue, weather is cool, life is all good. And you think you'll get to the destination in your time. Or you enjoy the road so much and you don't want to get to the destination. You just want to relax. But many times our life is like the hell, like traffic. We're stuck. We think nothing is moving. We are frustrated. You spent so much time, but you drove only 30 miles. You spent year after year, but you're still struggling with your weakness. Your spiritual growth seems to stop. And your spiritual enemies are still all around you. And they're trying to attack you. Life is hard. You may think, my supporters are leaving me. My best friends are dying and turning into enemies against me. My prayers are not answered. It is so hard to move on. Don't you feel this way sometimes? Whether you are in traffic or not, you will get to the destination. We'll get to the destination eventually. It will happen. But let me tell you, my friend, long suffering for Christ will bring you joy, more joy. When you see Christ at the end, you will be overjoyed. But if everything goes well here, then you would not want to see Jesus that bad. You don't want this pleasure and fun here to stop. You want to stay here forever without wanting to see Jesus. But when life is hard, you are facing so much suffering on the way, you will anticipate to see Jesus even more than anything. So be thankful for your hardships and long suffering. As Job praised God after all those sufferings and said, "Now I met God, endure this hardship that you go through now and meet God in a most amazing and powerful way." God has purposefully put the suffering in your life. Be patient in His direction. If He says go, and go. If He says stop, then stop and wait until He says go. Sometimes you may think that you can control for better chance and opportunities out there. And there would be much more resources, better partnerships, and greater opportunities for you to grow. but you need to stop and pray before you move. So be patient. Anticipate Lord's coming. Patiently pray without ceasing. Patiently share the gospel no matter what. Even if you have a bad neighbor, do not think like, oh, we will move out as soon as possible or wait until these evil people move out. Instead, patiently pray for them to repent and come to Jesus Christ. You do whatever you can do patiently to lead them to Jesus Christ. And that is what waiting in God's direction looks like. So let's be patient until the Lord Jesus comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message of endurance and perseverance. Father, please help us to be like what James said. Father, we know we are living in a very tough time. It is very difficult to persevere and endure. But Father, please give us power to endure the hardships so we can meet you face to face every day for your kingdom, for your glory. We thank you, praise you. In Jesus' holy name, we prayed. Amen.